Okay. Let us talk a little bit about relationships in Parshas Vayetze. A lot of interesting relationships. So in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Beis. Shlomi, why don't you sit here? Nice place to sit. Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Beis. So Yaakov is defending himself to Lavan during this altercation, this negotiation where Lavan was chasing him. And he's defending his honesty and his integrity. Zeli Asim Shana Bevesecha Vaneticha Vasre Shana Veshtei Benasecha. I was there for 20 years. And the only reason I thrived is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported me and helped me. So he says, Lulei Elokei Avi Elokei Avi Elokei Avraham Upachad Yitzchak. The God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, and Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak is the name of a very famous sefer. A Putner sefer was called Pachad Yitzchak. His name is Yitzchak. Why does he use the word Pachad Yitzchak instead of Elokei Yitzchak? He says Elokei Avi, God of my father, Elokei Avraham. He mentions Avraham. He iterates Avraham. Now he's about to iterate Yitzchak. He uses the word Pachad. So Rashi explains. He notices it. Lo Ratza Lomar Elokei Yitzchak. Sheina Kadosh Baruch Hu miyachet shmo al tzaddikim b'chayehem. Hashem doesn't normally associate his name with tzaddikim during their life, because our life is an endless pursuit of Hashem, so we can say Elokei suggests possessive. Like Elokei Avram means that Avram possessed Hashem. In fact, the Gemara says, the Ravuda was called this Gemara in Shavuos, that the suffixes, the grammatical suffixes of the name of Hashem, oftentimes have the same kedusha as the name of Hashem. So if you erase the word Elohim, you're over Nisu Deraisa. What if you erase the Nun Vav of Elokeinu? Are you over Nisu Deraisa? It's not really part of Hashem's name. It's just part of the possessive grammar. So the Gemara says, at least according to one day, you are. And the Rav saw this as a theological chiddush, that basically Hashem allows himself to be possessed by human beings. As infinite as he is, as uncontained as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you can build a relationship with Hashem. You can become your God. Hashem allows himself to be not possessed in the sense of limited, but possessed in terms of creating a relationship. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be called Elokei Yitzchak if Yitzchak's still alive, and Yitzchak is still alive. Once a person dies, then there's no longer a pursuit of Hashem. You can't accomplish anymore in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your Bechira Chavshis. You no longer have Bechira Chavshis. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his name to be associated. So Yaakov doesn't say Elokei Yitzchak. He says Pachad Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is still alive. The problem is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in the beginning of the Parsha, Hashem says Elokei Avraham, Avicham, Elokei Yitzchak. So Hashem does use the word Elokei Yitzchak in the beginning of Vayetze to talk to Yaakov, even though in the end of Vayetze, Yaakov doesn't want to use the word Elokei Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is still alive. So Rashi explains that Yitzchak is blind, so since he's blind and a blind person is enfeebled like a dead person, so Hashem, in the beginning of the Parsha, can say, okay, Yitzchak, because even though he's alive, he's considered as if he's almost incapacitated and handicapped and he's dead. But that just raises the question, why did Yaakov want to say the word, okay, Yitzchak, if Yitzchak was enfeebled like a dead person? And then Rashi concludes, Yaakov nisyare lomar elokei v'amar pachad. Yaakov was afraid to say the word elokei Yitzchak, so he uses the word pachad. So there's a big swirl in Rashi. Hashem uses the word Elokei Yitzchak because Yitzchak is blind. Yaakov doesn't want to use it because Yitzchak is still alive. Yaakov doesn't want to use it because he's afraid. Is it because he's still alive or because he's afraid? If you look a little bit later in Parshas Vayishlach, in Perek Lamed Beis, Yaakov says, Elokei Avi Avraham veElokei Avi Yitzchak Hashem Amar Lai Shuv Li Artzecha Beitiv Yimach. So in Perek Lamed Beis, Yaakov does use the word Elokei Yitzchak. So what is Rashi conveying by noting the fact that Yaakov doesn't want to employ this term Elokei Yitzchak because Yitzchak is still alive, because Yitzchak is Yaakov is afraid, he uses the word Pachad Yitzchak. The answer, I think, and Rashi is alluding to this answer, is that Yaakov has a very strained relationship with Yitzchak. There's no communication between Yitzchak and Yaakov that's conscious. The only communication is when Yitzchak believes he's Esav. We don't ever see Yitzchak speaking with Yaakov. In the aftermath of this whole manipulated sale, Yitzchak never, at least we don't see Yitzchak ever communicating to Yaakov, well, I didn't trust in you before, but now you've proven yourself, or I'm ratifying or validating what you did. He never tells him Gam Baruch Yihyeh in a way that he knows who Yaakov is. He says that to Esav, Gam Baruch Yihyeh. He never tells this to Yaakov. And even the send-off is Rivka's send-off. Rivka doesn't say, if I were Rivka, I would say, Yitzchak, here's your chance to mend the relationship. Be a father. Take him out for a softball match. Take him out for a toss and catch or something. And then send him off. Go get him some hamburgers. And then it's Rivka who provides the send-off. So there's really no contact between Yaakov and Yitzchak. And of course, what was Yaakov be feeling? He feels that he was undervalued by his father, disrespected by his father. The whole world sees Esav as a Russian, and his father can't see it. To the credit of Yaakov, he tries to rebuild the relationship, but it isn't easy, and human beings are human beings. So at this stage, when he's far from his father and he's suffering, because he's basically trying to fend off Laban's final assault, it's hard for him to say, Elokei Avi Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. His father's still alive. I mean, it doesn't just mean theologically the father's still alive, so he doesn't say it, but the father's still alive, and he's processing the relationship with his father, and he can't say it. He's afraid to say it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say it already in the beginning of Parshas Vayetzei, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no problem with his relationship, so to speak, with Yitzchak, but Yaakov does. And even the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Yitzchak as almost dead because he's blind, it's very painful for Yaakov to think of his father as dead because he's blind, because Yaakov took advantage of his father's blindness. That's not a comfortable thing for Yaakov to think about. For Yaakov to say, well, the Gemara says that a person who is blind is like he's dead, and therefore it's like my father's passed, and I can say, okay, Yitzchak, even if I have a difficulty in the relationship, because the blindness was something that Yaakov utilized, I don't want to say exploited, but utilized for his benefit. The point is, if you look at the overall portrait, there's a slow process of rebuilding the relationship with his father. Now, once he returns home in Parshas Vayishlach, and he feels his brother's warmth, but he at least feels that he has a brother, and he's closer to his father's home, then already in Parshas Vayishlach, he's capable of saying, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. And then, of course, Rashi doesn't quote either of these two psukim, but if you look in Parshas Vayigash, when he goes back to Be'er Sheva, which is where his father lived, after his father's dead already, and he's on the way down to Mitzrayim, his father's really dead, and he offers a korban tashem, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelokei, I didn't quote the pasuk, Vayizbach Zvachim Lelokei Avi Yitzchak. Very famous Rashi in Parshas Vayigash that he doesn't even mention Avraham. Vayizbach Zvachim, not Lokei Avi Avraham, but Lokei Avi Yitzchak, Lokei Avi Yitzchak. It just says Lokei Avi Yitzchak. So sometimes relationships go sour, and sometimes they're the fault of no one. It wasn't Yitzchak's fault, it wasn't Yaakov's fault. Just human beings don't often communicate, don't often bond in the right way. And to Yaakov's credit, he's working through this relationship with his father, and right now, under the threat of Lavan, and far away from his father, it's hard for him to say, Avi Yitzchak. But don't give up. Relationships can change, and you have to work at it, and you see Yaakov working at it. Similarly, towards the end of the Parsha, there's a lot of confusion in the end of the Parsha about the word brother. Yaakov has a lot of brothers in the end of the Parsha. All of a sudden, he's got all these brothers coming from nowhere. Let me just find the psukim. Vayizbach Yaakov Zebach, this is Perak Lamed Aleph Pasuk Nun Dalid. Vayizbach Yaakov Zebach Bahar Vayikra Li Achav Lecho Lechem. So he calls his brothers. Where did Yaakov get all these brothers? Lechav Lecho Lechem. So Rashi says these were the people with Lavan that were his sympathizers. Leo Havav Shem Lavan. Even though Lavan came to attack him with all of his posse, Yaakov still had some sympathizers from all the years they had spent together. In Pasuk Memvav, a little bit earlier, Vayom Yaakov Le'achav, he tells his brothers, Liktu Avanim, gather stones. By the way, those little food for thought, think about the relationship between the stones in the beginning of the Parsha and the stones in the end of the Parsha. The stones that Yaakov gathers to put his head on, and the stones in the end of the Parsha that form the monument. It's a nice closure between stones and a nice closure between angels. The Parsha begins with angels and stones, the Parsha ends with angels and stones. That's a lot of idea to think about. So you're writing this down, Fury, you're coming up with some good ideas if you haven't thought about it before. But in terms of the brothers, Yaakov tells his brothers to gather stones. So Rashi says, here the brothers are not the sympathizers with Lavan, but they're his children. And they're helping him defend himself, and in this case, build the monument. The point is, if he's asking his children, the Reuvens and the Shimons of the world, to build the monument, why does he call it Mechav? And if he's breaking bread with Lavan's team that he's still close with, right, his contacts within Lavan's organization, why is it called Echav? The answer is obvious at the literary level, but we'll discuss the moral issues, because we're about to have the encounter with his real brother in Parshas Vayishlach. So this is a literary way of building up the interest, and these are not really his brothers. These are his children. Where's his brother? his brother's waiting in ambush with 400 guerrilla terrorists about to attack him, and we're going to have to face that in the next parsha. So this is a way of mechlal lav atashomehain, mechlal hain atashomeh lav. But the point is, I think in the larger sense, not just the literary point to set our expectations for the next parsha, but the point is that to a degree, Yaakov also rebuilds his relationship with Esav. Even though there's a face-off, there's conciliation, and there's appeasement, and there's some degree of a relationship, and he says, I'll meet you down the road, and it's nala li'iti, and Esav offers to walk alongside of it. It doesn't end the way it should end, but Yaakov doesn't give up on that relationship either. And even though he'll never reach the relationship with Esav that he would want from an ach, he still sees people as brothers. And they're in lieu of his brothers. This is through Yaakov's eyes. Through Yaakov's eyes, he hasn't anesthetized the notion of a brother. He still wants a brother. And therefore, these people who are in his life, his children, or the friends of his, and Esav's posse, are described in his mind, are seen or perceived in his mind as potential brothers, because he hopes to have a relationship with his brother. And to a degree, he does. And relationships in life, across the framework, siblings, friends, even spouses, children, they're not all or nothing. It's either perfect or you ignore or you're dead in the relationship. You just have to realize sometimes relationships have to be adjusted. And they're not going to be everything you want sometimes in a relationship, especially with parents. You have so much expectations with your children, and sometimes those expectations are heavy and burdensome for children. You have to change and calibrate. Well, this is the type of relationship we'll have, and we'll continue working, but we may never get there. But you can't deal with relationships in life as all or nothing. So you see Yaakov trying to build a relationship with his father. So Yaakov trying to build it, right? It's hard for Yaakov. Think about it. The only real relationship he has that's pure and that's uncomplicated is with his mother, who loves him unconditionally and attends to his needs. One more Rashi about it's not all or nothing. I spoke in Shir about why Rachel refers to her second child, Bilhah's child, as Naphtali, but she refers to her first child, she calls him Dan. Interesting name. Dan means judgment. I was judged. Very interesting. Do you feel judged in life by people? You know, people suffer that. They feel judged by their surroundings, and especially at this age, where you're very conscious of people around you. So it's really important to, as best you can, try to liberate yourself from that and not to always feel judged and not to take actions based on what other people, just to feel an independent, deep authenticity. So it's really important. It's not easy to achieve that either. Still very much part of your social fabric, part of what people are saying about you. That's something to aim towards. But obviously, how do we feel judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Think about that a lot, guilt and frustration and disappointment in ourselves, and we're always looking to, well, this is what's happening to me because of this, and I would have done better in this respect, and maybe would have had an easier time in this area. And Rashi says as follows. I don't know where Rashi gets this from. Oh, actually, I know where she gets it from. He gets it from the Lashon. I don't know where Rachel gets it from. Rachel says, Danani Elokim. Danani Elokim. Danani is a plural language. It doesn't say Dani Elokim. So I think not that great at grammar. I think probably Danani is the proper grammatical statement. You can say Dani or probably Danti Elokim. But the double nun of Danani Elokim suggests multiplicity. Danani, there's a Dagesh nun, so it's Danani Elokim. The nun has almost like the three nuns in this pasuk. So Rashi writes Danani v'chiyavani, Danani, he doesn't write v'chiyavani, Danani v'chiyavani v'zikani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicted me, and she definitely feels indicted because she doesn't have children, she's sterile. But she also feels awarded because she has children through Bilhah's the delivery. Vizikani. So what does she feel? Does she feel indicted or does she feel vindicated? Does she feel punished or does she feel rewarded? And the answer is both. And emotions are complex in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes we fail and sometimes we succeed. I think very often frustration in religion happens and failure in religion. So when we feel like we failed in an area and we feel punished in that area, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't offer us something we feel we deserve and we desperately want, and then it's harder for us to say, okay, but that doesn't make me a bad person, it doesn't make me a failure, it doesn't make me someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about, it just means that in one area, in fact, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares more about people that he sends messages to, Kasher Yasser Ish Espino, Hashem Elokecha Miyasereka. And I'm assuming you have good table manners, Noam, but if Noam doesn't have good table manners, maybe I'll let it slide or something. Sometimes I don't, because I think it's important with my own children, Noam, it's more of my responsibility to intercede and to improve the table manners. So sometimes it's important in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you feel that you've been rewarded, not to assume that it's all, a walk in the park. There may be moments in which you'll feel chivani. And sometimes when you feel chivani, there'll be moments of zikani. And the fact that she doesn't call her son Danani, which would have been an interesting name, it would sound like a yogurt. It would have been Danani, but Danone yogurt. She calls him Dan, means that she all sees it as one. There's an integration. There's multiple experiences of how she interacts with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, but she calls it one. It's one judgment. That's why Rashi's language is very midirect. Danani v'chivani, zikani. I have to look up the Medrash. I think the Lashon of the Medrash is Danani v'chivani, Danani v'zikani. Two words done. Rashi combines them. Danani v'chivani v'zikani. So three relationships in Parshas Vayetze. One between a person and his father, one between a person and his brother, and one between a person and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Common denominator is not all or nothing, and it's a process, and we see Yaakov evolving in his relationship with his father, yearning for a relationship with his brother and adjusting it appropriately, and Dan Rachel, interacting with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in an interface which is complex. It isn't binary. Either I'm indicted or I'm rewarded. It's what most people go through in life. You get some what you want, some you can't get everything you want, and you have to be able to interpret that into a real relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay? Shabbat shalom.